Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Alive to Thrive. I'm so excited. Not only is it my birthday today, but I have a very special guest on. Today we have Dave Blanchard from the Augmandino Group. Hi, Dave. Are you on the line with us?
I am. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you perfect, and it's the best birthday gift ever to have you with us today. We've been trying to get this scheduled for a couple of months, and thank you for making the time. I know you're incredibly busy coaching and teaching and all the great things you do. To back up a little bit, I met Dave at a Zango conference in Las Vegas in early September and instantly liked him. There was just that magic click moment. He was standing at the back of the room before he went on stage, and I'm looking at the book that he wrote, Today I Begin a New Life, and there he is standing there, and we just kind of connected, didn't we, Dave?
We did.
And, you know, I was really blown away by your... Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm fine.
I was just going to say, I was really blown away by your story and what you shared with us both that day, which was sort of the day before the big event, and then what you shared on the Zango stage in front of thousands. Some very personal stuff that we're going to get to, and also what you're doing to help people look at their thoughts and become an intentional creator in their life. This is a fantastic subject. It's one that has really captured my interest. And I first read Augmandino just a couple of years ago. I was in a mastermind group. And for those that don't know, I can't imagine, but there are those of people that haven't read any books by Augmandino. Can you tell us a little bit about his writings, Dave, and how you were first introduced to his books?
I'd be happy to. First of all, happy birthday.
Thank
you. You're finally legal to drink.
That's right. Legal and choose not to.
Well, I had the privilege of being asked to write a feature film script back in my film days on one of Og's books. It was called The Christ Commission. Interestingly, I'd only read that book the year prior, and other books that Og had written, The Greatest Salesman, The Greatest Secret, The Greatest Miracle, The Choice, The Twelfth Angel. I'm sharing these with you because some of the listeners are going, oh, I know those books. That's Augmandino. Yes, Augmandino left World War II, came home, became a salesperson, developed a drinking problem, alcoholism, and lost his first wife and his daughter to his alcoholism. He almost committed suicide in 1955 in Cleveland, cold winter, kind of like it is right here. I'm looking out at the snow falling. Went to a pawn shop to buy a gun, made a choice instead to go to a library and started reading self-help books. And 13 years later, he's delivering the book, The Greatest Salesman in the World, to readers. And since that day, 25 million people have purchased that book.
Wow.
Taken on his challenge. Not all taken on, but many have taken on the challenge to study the 10 scrolls that are found in that book. studying each scroll 3 times a day for 30 days, driving those principles into their lives. I have the privilege of getting emails from people all the time. When I was 18, my dad gave me this book. And when I was 16, my dad gave me this book instead of a car. You know, those kinds of discussions. And it changed my life. So many of them that are listening today have probably had a chance to read The Greatest Salesman in the World, The Greatest Miracle. It's such an honor. When Betty called me in 2000, I was in the cancellation line of The Lion King after a day of shooting TV commercials there in New York. And she said, "Dave, the rights to The Greatest Salesman have just become available, and I wanted to call you first. Would you be interested?" We talked for 2 hours. What came out of that conversation and subsequent conversations, we started a new company called the Og Group, the Og Mandino Group. I would become the CEO. I would leave the film industry, and I would lead that company in bringing Og's principles into the 21st century. And Brenda, you and I both know we've never needed them more than we need them now.
That is so true. And, you know, it is, those are the principles that are so practical. And like you said, reading and speaking those scrolls every day, 3 times a day, you know, I have gotten away from the practice, and this call is, I'm going to recommit on my birthday to get back on doing those scrolls. And I love that they're now available on a CD that you can put in your car, you can download to your iPod. You know, thanks to technology, we have Og's voice with us forever, and some video clips, a few of those. But tell us about your dark night of the soul, Dave, because I think that took a lot of courage to share that on a stage in front of thousands of people and to really be vulnerable. I think that's one thing I admire about you, is that you're not afraid to be vulnerable. I think it takes great strength. To me, it shows the character of a man who can bear his soul and to say, here is where I was, here's where I am now, this is what my experience has taught me, and maybe there's a little nugget or lesson in here for you. Because I think all of us have struggled with something in our lives that have brought us to our knees, and literally and proverbially, where we have to make a choice, whether we want to choose life or choose death, whether we want to end it all or whether we want to go on, and if we go on, what do we do differently? So what was your story with that?
Quite simple. I was a developer of real estate. We had created millions of dollars of net worth. We had a beautiful home with a full-time gardener and housekeeper and nanny and, you know, the 40-foot custom Bluebird motorhome and exotic sports cars, Porsches, Ferraris, you know, the whole thing. And the real estate market started turning in Southern California in 1986 with the Tax Reform Act. And by 1989, everything we owned, all that real estate, had just collapsed. When property goes down in value 30, 40%, which it did, we were building apartment buildings, large apartment buildings, 100-unit apartment buildings and larger. And all of that collapsed. And I still remember that the day I was sitting in a trench. The last building we built had a sewer problem. The last 2 units of the building, sewers backing up. I couldn't afford to hire a $10 an hour helper. Now, what's ironic is I drove up every day in the Mercedes that was about to be repossessed. Put on my rubber boots. Got down the trench, dug out this trench about 70 feet long. I could tell that the fall wasn't correct on the line, so the sewer wasn't draining, and opened it up, and it just, you know, it was like Shawshank Redemption there, and I'm standing in this puddle of human excrement, and I'm weeping, and people are walking by, and I didn't care. How did I get here? And I've discovered, Brenda, so many people are in that space right now. How did I get here? Well, I went home that night and just faced the reality of that. We ended up loading everything up in a couple Ryder trucks, coming up here to Utah, starting a career as a writer and director. I spent the next 10 years paying back $1 million in debt. That's what we owed at that time. Assets were gone, $1 million of debt. The second year in, something happened that made it even darker. We were at least selling some educational films I had produced. And even those stopped selling 2 years in. And I got to the point, and I don't mind talking about it, because I'm finding so many, they may not plan a suicide, but you know, if a car T-boned them and killed them, they'd be okay. I'd be okay with that. Or if I could hit that pole over there and have it deemed an accident and not a suicide, I'd be okay with that. We start playing with these kinds of things. Not everyone, but we can get there very easily when we start to lose things. And I got down to the night, you know, and fortunately the squeeze wasn't quite enough, and woke up the next morning and I cried out. I longed to cry to the God of my youth, but the God of my youth will not hear my cry. I must change my God or change my cry. And I said that morning, if you'll show me, if you really are there, if you'll show me how to dig out of this darkness and get back into the sunlight of success and happiness and peace of mind, I will, in fact, dedicate the rest of my life to teaching people how to do likewise. Well, over the next 10 years, I was a stubborn student. It took 10 years. But at the end of 10 years, I wrote the last $14,000 check off in August of 2000, sent it in the mail, and that night, I just fell to my knees, because what was impossible? We lived in a home that we owned. We had reserves. We had kids in college. We had several getting married. And the debt was gone. And I wanted to say, thank you, God. And I had this overwhelming feeling come over me that said, what did you learn, Dave? And I knew, Brenda, I knew exactly what I'd learned. I learned that God opens the doors of opportunity, and we do the work. Simple as that. And so many want an easy button. They want to be rescued. That's what I wanted 10 years earlier. It wasn't going to happen. There is not a power in the universe that's ever going to rob us of the opportunity to stretch and grow and become all that we're meant to become. So in truth, when it was all done, it was a great lesson. It was really and it was right then, it was August, that's when we were working out the details on the greatest salesman in the world, right then. And so we brought all of those lessons I learned, all of Og's teaching. I can remember the first time I read Og. He was like an old friend.
Yeah.
Like Og saying, where you been, Dave? I've been waiting for you. I mean, you can almost feel that kind of energy. So we bring all of Og's principles, all of my life experience, and create coaching and programs to help people dig out of these things.
Mm-hmm. Quotes are just amazing. After you could have 100 different little nuggets. Every sentence is something that can offer hope and inspiration. But in your story and in that quote about I long to cry to the God of my youth, the God of my youth will not hear my cry. I must change my God or change my cry. I love that because you talk about how struggles are there to teach us. And so often I think people resist and try to medicate either with alcohol or drugs, or they go to the doctor and say, I'm depressed, and then the doctor gives them a pill, and they mask the pain, and they never really get through the pain. They sort of stay stuck in it longer because they're not just, you know, looking at the situation as what's in this to teach me, or they say, if only. I remember I made a list of my if only this would happen, if only that would happen, if only. And really, that is such a trick of the mind, because you could have all those things on your list and still be miserable. So, I mean, so many people think that money might solve their problems, and I remember when I had one of my challenges was, you know, 96 when I was in this car crash with my mother, and, you know, it was the aftermath of looking at what was the meaning of my life, because I was obviously kept alive for a reason, which is why the show is called Alive to Thrive. But during that period of physical recovery, you know, the early version of the Titanic movie came out, the one on television before the big blockbuster movie. And, you know, one of the lessons in that movie is that, you know, all the money in the world didn't save those people. They still sank to the bottom of the ocean. and just the illusion that they had of safety on that ship, and the illusion they had of safety that their money, that they thought their money gave them. And so safety is not in financial resources, although certainly financial resources makes life easier. But you talk about that, that we need to develop the capability to handle the stress of having more money, that you know, you see this a lot with athletes, but a lot of people that come into success quickly, celebrities, whatnot, might not have the mental capacity to handle that kind of ability with having that kind of money. Can you talk a little bit about that and where mental creation comes into play?
Certainly, in a simple state, wealth comes with responsibility and accountability. And if we haven't become the person who can handle that, money can actually destroy us. So the objective is to become the person who can handle ever-increasing levels of stress with ever-increasing levels of ease. It gets easier and easier. Those things that used to sabotage us and sink our ship now are like nothing, because we've acquired greater levels of ability, empathy, compassion, productivity. Our analytical skills have improved. Our discipline has improved. So when one of those things comes, we can just solve it and it's done. There's not a lot of drama around it like there used to be. And when we can just solve a problem and we can handle with ever-increasing levels of ease, the ever-increasing level of stress, we are prepared. And opportunities open up for ever-increasing levels of wealth. Wealth is a byproduct of being able to be responsible. And if we're not, and we were to get it some way, quickly, inherit it, lottery, I mean, the stories of lottery winners and the destruction is fairly well known. I mean, 5 years later, most are in worse shape. I'm sorry?
Yeah, the percentage is really high, isn't it, of those that win a lottery ticket to having it gone within a couple of years? It's like 70% or something.
When it started. Yeah, it's really awful. That's awful. Not everyone.
So one
those who still have it clearly had developed capacity, and they just plugged the money into the capacity. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I love that you talk a lot about connecting with others and serving. And I often give advice, if asked, that if someone's depressed or, you know, going through some tough times, is to get out of their own stuff and get out in the community and serve others. And you talk about falling in love with people and looking around and praying, how can I serve? Can you talk about that a little bit, about contributing to the world?
Certainly. Most people on this phone have very high levels of empathy and intuition. We may not be exercising it. It's the ability to listen to another person and step into their world. And what we run into, one, self-esteem, where we're doubting our own ability, we're doubting our own worth and worthiness, we're doubting our own belief system. We've got all this dialogue going on inside of our head that robs us from showing up for another person. So the very first thing we teach someone is to take their stuff out of their sack they've been dragging around. All that stuff from the past has been such a burden. And take it out and look at it differently. Here's an experience that has uniquely prepared me to better understand what another person is going through. Wow, has anybody else had an experience like this? The answer is always yes. We engrave it on our heart. We use it as a lens through which we see another person. Now, Brenda, in this context, there is a major decision, and success requires it. And that is, we shift from focusing on us having, us getting, us receiving, us being dramatic, wanting people to appreciate how much we're suffering, how much we've given, how much pain we're having. We shift all of that focus to, I wonder if somebody else is feeling this way. And we look for people to serve, and we listen differently, because we do know. And we hear things other people miss, and we ask questions other people may not ask. And when we do this, the person we're talking to, we're talking with, feels understood. It's the greatest gift we can give another human being, is for them to feel understood. Now they feel safe. Their walls of resistance come down. Cooperation floods out. And the very hole in our soul gets filled by that cooperation and productivity. It's discernible. It feels wonderful. So the joy we're often looking for is not in getting, having, taking. It's in serving, in giving. And some people have said to me today, my cup's empty. Even a better reason to reach out and listen to and show up for someone, because when you do, that cooperation will help fill that very empty cup. This is an important piece. I would call this the greatest secret of success in all ventures. Mm-hmm. Just muscle can split a shield or even destroy life. I can be forceful. I can throw up on people's walls of resistance. I can be manipulative. But only the unseen power of love will open the hearts of men. Until I master this art, I'm no more than a peddler in the marketplace. Wow. What a great principle. And couldn't we use that in our world today?
Yes, I love that. I actually saw that in practice for the first time ever on a political campaign, actually. Surprisingly, their strategy was storytelling, and it was telling a story about yourself and asking the person you were talking to tell a story about themselves. And I had never seen this done before, and it was played out in thousands of communities around a particular state I was in, and it actually proved successful in a very difficult climate and a difficult issue. But it got people talking, and it got people opening up their heart. And policy can change. And wherever people are in this country on whatever policy or politics, wherever they are, policies can change, business can change, success can change in your own life, relationships can change when you hear their story, ask to hear their story, share your story. I mean, it does shift the whole dynamic completely. And I got to witness that. So literally, I thought it was mind-blowing, because I had literally stepped away from politics for the last 12 years, did nothing with it, didn't want to engage. It was too negative and too personally upsetting, and too many egos. And this was a shift for something I witnessed. Now, you have something you offer that's fantastic on the Ogmandina website. We want to make sure everyone knows about it. It's ogmandino.com, ogmandino.com. And to go there and take a free assessment. Dave, I understand you've looked at more than probably almost 5,000 assessments by now, which is mind-blowing to me how many you've looked at. But what is an assessment, and what can people learn from taking one of these?
This is a very powerful assessment. It's unlike anything anyone's ever done before, unless they've done this one. It's based on deductive science. It's mathematics. Now, you're going to go in and rank words or phrases. But behind all that is mathematics. We are measuring how a person thinks. Not what they think, but how they think. And if we're going to engage in self-improvement, wouldn't it be nice to know specifically where to apply our efforts, which thoughts we want to shift, and which thoughts we want to magnify? And that's what the assessment will do. Not only that, it's free. We used to charge $300 just to take it. And I've done debriefs, which is like an hour and a half one-on-one with an individual, 4,800 times. And we just decided to do something, and last Wednesday was the second occasion. We've done this twice now. We're going to do it the Wednesday after Thanksgiving again. So anybody that takes the assessment, you'll be notified to come to a free webinar. I do them on Wednesday at 5 o'clock Mountain Time. And I spent almost 2 hours last Wednesday night. I explained the assessment, how it works, the measurements, what they mean, and then I took questions. I'll take questions about your assessment. I've got it right there in front of me so I can look at it and help you better understand where to apply your efforts. This is our gift, because once you've measured and you know, now just to start applying principles, you can pick up we haven't mentioned it yet, my brand new book that's coming out the first week of December, The Observer's Chair, and Start Healing Self-Esteem. We can pick up Today I Begin a New Life, and start applying the principles of connecting with people and using our mind constructively and living in passion-driven action. And they're all designed to address those measurements. So come and take a free assessment. Come and have a free webinar, and you'll know exactly where to work.
Wow, yeah, and I listened to your call October 24th, actually, and, you know, some of the points I wrote down from that call was, you know, you talk about being the observer of our thoughts and how to receive inspired ideas and visions of possibility, and the various colors that indicate where someone's thoughts may be supporting them or may be distracting them. Very interesting things that I heard on that call, and also talking about changing our habits so that we can develop habits for intentional creation. And I love that Og talks about that the only thing that can replace a bad habit is a good habit, and that we can become slaves to our habits, so we might as well develop good habits and become slave to the good habits. But can you talk a little bit about habits and you know, how long does it take to change a habit, and how hard is it to change some habits that we've been carrying around with us for a lifetime?
I love when Og said, "I have surrendered my free will. Here I am, the person in charge of my life. I've got the gift to step back from and observe my own thought processes and choose to change them. And even with that gift, I sometimes surrender to them." And he said, "And when I do, the past deeds of my life have already threatened to imprison my future." Well, that's an interesting challenge. So we're either here in our observer's chair, focused on and looking at them and choosing to change them, or over there in the other chair, stuck in them. Now, there has been kind of a feeling that, or at least some studies that have suggested it takes 30 days to change a habit. The assessment has been able to identify different kinds of habits. We have habits in what are called systemic thoughts, extrinsic thought, intrinsic thought. Some of those are more challenging to change. They take real hypervigilance over a period of time. And so what we'll want to do is become aware, step back from, and we use the scroll to raise awareness. We use a very specific, scientifically based I am affirmation. It's very powerful to get us sitting here in this chair, and then we start practicing the principles of staying conscious. And here's the point. Every time we have one of those, we call them pivotal moments of the day, we become aware that something just happened, and normally we go over there to the left, but today we're going to choose to go a different direction, to the right. And we want to stay conscious enough so that in these moments, because if we're not conscious, we're just going to go left. That's our neural pathway. That's the way the brain has been reacting for ever how long we've had this habit. And we're going to consciously choose to change it. Og said, "I must prepare new furrows." This is 1968, Brenda, long before neuroscientists discovered the brain had plasticity, had the ability to be changed. We create a new furrow. We keep making that decision over and over and over again, and pretty soon the neuron fires in that direction naturally, and the brain synaptically prunes off the bad habit, and we wake up happier than we ever imagined possible in this world of strife and sorrow. We have a new habit of thinking. Now, habits are fragile. We want to keep practicing them. It's not easy to change a habit, but it can be done, no matter how we got it, whether we were abused as a child, whether we were in a situation that wasn't very nurturing or a bad relationship, whatever it was that helped create that bad habit of thinking, we can change it. That's the beautiful thing. We can change it, but we can't change it by reading warm and fuzzy self-improvement and, putting our hands up to heaven and saying, "I'm worthy, give me my share, I'm worthy to receive."
That's funny.
And, everybody just ends up being broken and angry. Change occurs in pivotal moments. We make a different decision. And when we make a different decision, we act differently. We get a different result. We start to feel more whole and complete and real and genuine and authentic and happy. We're going, "Wow, where has this been?" Well, it's been in my has been held hostage by that bad habit. Now we're getting a new one. I
hope
that's enough. Can we keep it in that? Is that okay?
That was great. We actually have a caller on hold. I'm going to just pop over and see if they have a comment or question for you. They've been patiently waiting. Let's see here. Caller, do you have a question for Dave or a comment?
That's good for 4 yards.
Hello, you're on the air.
Actually,
we can't hear you.
Second down.
All right, well, we're going to move on. We're sorry we couldn't hear them very well. They might have been on a speakerphone, but if the caller wants to call back or other people want to call in, we can take guest questions at 347-237-5339. We're going to take a short break here in a station identification and a PSA message. We'll be right back with Dave Blanchard of the Augmandino Group. We're talking about Augmandino. We're talking about his book today, I Begin a New Life. That's Dave's book, and another new book that's just out, and we're going to be talking about that in just a few moments. Stay with us, and thank you for listening to Alive to Thrive. We'll be right back in just a second.
We're open for business. The Greater Good Ministries Book and Gift Shop is now open for business, featuring metaphysical and uplifting books from your favorite authors, such as Doreen Virtue, Wayne Dyer, Michael Edward Owens. We've added handcrafted one-of-a-kind jewelry, pendants, earrings, and bracelets, and now have an exclusive selection of crystals, rocks, and stones for your metaphysical toolbox. Take a look at our hand-dug Arkansas crystals, imported Brazilian crystals, Tibetan crystals, and Reiki healing stones. All of our rocks, crystals, and stones have been Reiki-infused, blessed, and cleared, ready for use. You can reserve your copy of Crystal Healing 2012 and Beyond, Reverend B's new book, A Comprehensive Guide of Rocks, Crystals, and Stones for the New Age. Visit ggmradio.com and click Bookshop in the menu bar. That's ggmradio.com.
This is Lisa Edelstein from House. On TV, the good doctors aren't always easy to spot, but it is easy to spot the good that Barasa Ware is doing as a local health worker in Ethiopia. Every day, he helps the children of his village survive. When you help local health workers like Barasa, you're one step away from helping children survive all over the world. See where the good goes at goodgoes.org and find out all the ways you can help the good go further. Brought to you by Save the Children and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Alive to Thrive with Brenda Frazier on GGM. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Alive to Thrive. My name is Brenda Frazier. Our guest today is Dave Blanchard, the CEO of the Augmandino Group and author of two books now. One we were talking about just at the beginning of the show, Today I Begin a New Life, and Dave coaches and teaches the wisdom of Augmandino, and he will give you an assessment if you can take that on the augmandino.com website. Also at that website, you can order books and participate in a variety of coaching programs. Dave, you work with many, many people in network marketing and in sales. How do they find you? Do they get referred to you, or are you invited to a lot of their national conferences, or how does that work?
It's interesting. Sometimes they'll find us on Facebook, on the Augmandino Facebook. Sometimes they'll find us on the Augmandino channel on YouTube. Got a lot of speeches on that YouTube channel. Sometimes they'll follow us on Twitter. The Augmandino website, they'll search into us. It's the official Augmandino site. And then quite often it's just relationships developed over the years where we've helped someone take on their life and they refer to the next and the next. I love those kinds of referrals. That's the most common.
And a shout out to our dear friend, Glade and Cindy Polson that arranged for us to meet again over dinner in Las Vegas, I guess it was. And Glade has many people around the country working with you, and How has that gone now that you're 2 months into it? What kind of success are you seeing people have by applying these principles in their business?
We just had that coaching call last evening. We do it every Thursday night. And I think one of my favorite coaching calls of all time happened a week ago last Thursday. We teach a principle called power sessions. It's how to stay present in the now. I won't go into detail on the call, but it tests whether or not we're staying present. And you only have to do it 3 times a day for an hour, the way it's set up. And I've only had 8 people out of 3,500 coaching clients who were able to do it the first week. As simple as it sounds, to be present 3 times a day, body and mind in the same place, we've only had 8. And on that call, on this group we're doing right now, we had 2 who did it perfectly and 2 who did it all but 1 time on 1 session. It was a miracle to watch. And we had a chance last night to go a little deeper into what causes us to run into this brick wall where there's just blood all over the floor every time we want to be present in the now. Because you and I know, Brenda, that creation occurs in our mind. That's where we get ideas, impressions, solutions to challenges. And then we come into tangible reality. We do the work of creation. And that transition from what we've seen to what we want to do to create it has been a very difficult transition for many. And it's so fun to watch these groups as people are starting to spend more time present in the now and starting to find great successes. I wish I could tell you the story of one without a lot of detail. She has a business in the United States and Europe, and she was, during that week, just that week alone, doing the power sessions, and she increased her volume, which is how people are paid in network marketing. She increased her volume 25% in 1 week. 25%.
Wow.
And her volume wasn't small to begin with. It's so exciting to watch somebody take it on and do something like that. And she was having fun doing it.
Wow. Well, I think it's going to improve everyone's business, and regardless of whether they're in network marketing or whatever business they're in, changing into this mindset of intentional creation and even just learning about it will help improve everyone's happiness factor and joy factor. So you have this new book. It's coming out in December?
It's coming out the first week of December.
And tell us
it
about it.
On a pre-release. It's called The Observer's Chair. When I wrote Today I Begin a New Life, it was really driven by one visual. It happened several years ago, and it's been repeated so many times, but I remember this one. It was a man and he was tearful. He was saying, I could almost touch it. I could almost taste it. Why can't I have it? And then he said, is there something wrong with me? And then he ended with, does God not love me? And I watched that played over so many times where people use their mind, create expectation, life shows up differently, and they are just beating themselves up. The self-deprecating dialogue is so painful. So I wrote Today I Begin a New Life to teach the principles of connection and how to use your mind constructively so that we don't go into fantasy. We get inspired ideas and impressions that ignite passion, and then how to be in passion-driven action so we could avoid the problem. And just a couple of months ago, Joe Soto, who is our social media guru with One Social Media, said, Dave, I want you to write a 10-page ebook on self-esteem. I think it will help us in the promotion of your book. And I said, great. So that night, I sat down to write it. And Brenda, no exaggeration, I wrote for 30 straight nights. I didn't sleep more than 2 to 2.5 hours any given night for those 30 nights. I coach all day long, or I'm speaking or traveling. I wrote every other spare minute and into the night, and I have never written with such urgency. And I thought, wow, here are the principles to avoid it, but let me show you what happens. Let me show you where you might be. Let me walk you through what causes self-esteem challenges, and let me give you some very specific principles and practices to get you out of that dark place, back in here to the observer's chair, where you are whole and complete and confident and valiant and peaceful and unconditional with yourself. Let's get you back here. And once you're here now, now we understand where we want to be, now let's go read Today I Begin a New Life and start practicing these principles of connection and et cetera. In many ways, I wish I'd have written Observer's Chair first. But it's okay. It's here now. It'll be here on the first week of December. And if anybody wants to read more about it, they can go to www. It's a little bit different. It's Og Mandino Group. ogmandinogroup.com/chair. www.ogmandinogroup.com/chair.
And I'll make sure I get that up on my Facebook page too.
Yeah, you can download the first chapter. I've recorded the first chapter and the prologue, so you can listen to it and see if that's something that's going to be of value to you. Matter of fact, on Monday, great timing. Monday, we're starting a free coaching program for 4 weeks on self-esteem for people who pre-order the book. I send them a PDF of the whole book so they can read it, start reading immediately. The next four Mondays, we're going to do a free coaching for anybody who buys 10 books at the pre-release special price. I just love to do things like this. So we're taking on self-esteem. We get to get 10 copies. They'll be here in time for the holidays. So you give them to friends, 9 of them to friends. Keep one for yourself. And the gift back to you for helping me get the message out to people who need this message, you get 4 free coaching sessions. And they're open line. You get to come. We get to talk, work through these issues. It'll be fun. That starts on Monday night.
Perfect timing and great idea to give that book as a Christmas gift and something meaningful and something you know people won't get two of, and who needs more coffee cups or boxes of chocolate? Let's give people a book that might transform their life. So, again, that website is ogmandinogroup.com/chair, and I'll make sure I get that up on my Facebook page. So in this book that, what started out as a little ebook, which was converted into, sounded like Og was right there on your shoulder helping guide you in this process, but became this book. And you talk in your first chapter about your dark night. And again, I think people can really identify with financial challenges these days. And just to give hope that there is a way out, that there is a light at the end of the tunnel, and that people can rise above whatever past situations they've experienced in their childhood. I think a lot of times, especially, I find this true for men. I don't know. Maybe this is a gender bias, but it's my observation that men have a harder time processing things from their past and harder time processing grief. They seem to suppress it and just, you know, put their shoulders back and say, I'm just going to tough it out and, you know, I'm going to be a man and just ignore it. And by ignoring it, it's always there with them. And women tend to process and go to groups and, you know, try to do more self-help things. But in your book, you talk about healing self-esteem and that this is a core issue for a lot of people. And a lot of people may think they don't even have a self-esteem issue, but they don't even realize how it's sabotaging them. So what does it mean to I loved also this description that you had there of a coach from our mutual friend Kevin Hall. I love Kevin, and I love his book Aspire. That was another amazing book that I have to have Kevin on in the next few months because his wisdom is phenomenal. But tell us what the definition is of a coach and how that applies to your work.
First of all, Kevin Hall was my coach.
Oh, my goodness.
Isn't that wonderful? He's just an amazing human being. Wrote the book Aspire. He writes in the book Aspire that the word coach comes from the word K-O-C-S, Cox, which is a small town just outside of Vienna where they made carriages for the aristocracy. So you've got these luxury coaches, and they would carry somebody from where they are to where they want to be. And you go over into Europe, you know, they'll talk about buses being a coach. That word is used frequently. In the context of training, a coach is here to help someone go from here to over there. That's why I hired Kevin. I hired Kevin when I was writing the first book, because Kevin had been through a spire, and he's just an amazing human being. I wanted someone to help me miss what we would call the glue buckets and potholes of life. Why learn everything ourselves the hard way? You know, break our own ankle, proverbially speaking. So Kevin was able to guide me through that process, made it easier, and it happened quicker. And that's what a coach is here for. So if someone says, I want to be there and I'm here, then go find a coach who knows what it's like to be there, who once was here, and knows what the road is like and can help you travel that road and get there quicker.
That resonates so much with me, because I wrote a chapter in a book called The 7 Points of Impact. And I don't know, did I give you a copy of that book, Dave? I'll have to mail you one. And my chapter is called How to... Oh, yeah, you would love it. It's 52 different chapters of various authors and coaches and different people that share their wisdom. And it's about the 7 points of your life that you want to have in balance. And so my chapter is called Help is on the Way, and it's exactly that, that in life, when you come to a crossroads, rather than blindly just picking a road, is to find those coaches, those guides, those fellow travelers that have been down the path ahead of you, and ask for their advice, accept their wisdom, be open to accepting wisdom and advice, not be afraid to ask, and get the support, and the journey is a lot smoother than the old way of thinking. For me, was, you know, self-reliance was key. You know, I am woman, hear me roar, I'm going to do this. And you just slap a bunch of willpower onto a problem, and that doesn't go very far. But anyway, I love that description of a coach. And, you know, you talk about how we can become an observer of our thoughts. And we've talked a little bit about this already, but to really slow the process down, and, you know, first, you know, you can't change anything that you first don't observe. So it's first becoming the observer, and then changing those thoughts. So this is a process that has been time tested, hasn't it?
Well, it's in the title of your show. You know, to be alive. To be alive is to be conscious, and we can go through life and be unconscious. And you mentioned something earlier a moment ago. You said sometimes guys are kind of reluctant to get help. It was 1992, right after that dark hour. I joke and say I was emotionally constipated. And you finally surrender to, and you don't have to be the tough guy. You just want to be real. Alive. I want to be alive. You pull that cork out, and you never put it back in again, because it's so different to be alive and to feel and to love and to work and to have passion for what you're doing. This is just a great way to live it, but it requires that we become alive.
And I think it's just such a paradox. There are so many interesting paradoxes in life where, you know, that the paradox that I learned was to surrender was to win, and to you know, to get support and to ask for help and to seek teachers out is actually more of a sign of strength. And you know, it's the last night we heard a speaker this week at a major dinner. It was called Safe Connections, and it's an organization that runs a hotline for sexual violence and domestic violence. But the different thing about this organization is that they work with men. They actually provide free counseling to boys that have been sexually abused. But their speaker at the dinner this year was a man, and he was the former mayor of Little Rock, Arkansas. And he shared a very deeply personal story. His daughter had been raped and killed many years ago. And he talked about what that was like, to experience the pain of being a father, of witnessing that whole the effect it had on his family. And it was the first time he had shared this story publicly in front of 400 people. And he was emotional at times, and he's a lawyer, you know, very smart, intelligent man. And I went up to him afterwards. I'm like, you know what? That was so not only therapeutic, but it's going to help so many people in this audience in ways he will never know how that story will have transformed somebody, because he was able to get up there and share it and encourage men to get involved in this issue, to be there to say that there is hope for all of us. So any closing thoughts, Dave? We have just a few minutes more. So there's a call starting on Monday, November 13th.
12th.
November, that is 12th, excuse me. People should go to the website, take the assessment, and order the book and order some extra copies of The Observer's Chair. And with getting that book and some extra copies for friends, you will be invited to a free coaching call for the month of November. Is that going to be every Monday night for the month of November?
It'll be every Monday night starting on the 12th. So in a nutshell, it looks like this. If you want to work on self-esteem, go to augmentinogroup.com/chair. If you pick up 10 copies, you get to come to the coaching for free. When you go to the Augmentino website, we have a standing offer that when you buy 10 copies of Today I Begin a New Life and do the same thing, you can come Tuesday night at 6 o'clock Mountain Time, and you can stay there for 12 weeks until we get through the book. Well, I want you to go through the whole book with me, and that's free.
Yeah.
Just for helping me get the word out. So those are two fun things. I do have one thought in closing. You know, when we talk about challenges we have, and you know that I mentioned in the book that Margaret, my agent, said you got to be vulnerable to give people permission to take a good look at their life. So I talked about age 3 through 5 in the hands of a pedophile. I talked about losing everything and starting over again, paying back $1 million in debt, and some of the details of all of that. That's just to help us all be okay that we've all got challenges, and all means all. All means all. If you've lost your house or you've lost your bank account, that's all. It's got the same kind of feeling. Here's the secret. I believe the secret. And it's a pivotal moment that we're going to want to make a decision. And that is, do I still want to keep seeking ease? A life without stress, without frustration, without pain. I've got time freedom and financial freedom. I want to keep trying to find that place because it doesn't exist on the planet. Or am I finally ready to engage in life and embrace principles and connect and serve others and create value everywhere I go and contribute to the world? If we choose the latter, the doors start to open and it all starts to make sense. We're congruent with the power in the universe. We're congruent with principles of creation. May we make that decision. Let go of the ease. Let's start living a life of significance. That's it.
I love that. And I just do want to remind everyone that Today I Begin a New Life is available as an ebook for your Kindle or Nook. And the hard copy includes a CD of the 10 scrolls. That is in itself worth the price of the book. I mean, I would pay $20 just for that one CD, let alone the book and the CD. So that's a really big value. Now, on the Kindle and Nook version, do they get, how do they get the scrolls there?
They can call the office, and for $5, we'll ship them the CD.
Okay, fantastic.
Really simple.
So if you get that's fantastic. So if you get the Kindle version of the book.
When you buy the Observer Chair, I got the fun part of the other one, that when you buy the Observer, I'm giving you a link to those 10 scrolls as part of the book. Instead of sending the CD, I'm giving you, for your eyes only, a link, or your ears only, a link to those 10 scrolls. So either book, you're going to get them. And if you get
fantastic.
Kindle or Nook with the new book, it'll be out in 2 weeks, The Observer's Chair on Kindle and on a Nook, on Barnes & Noble and Amazon. When you get the book, you'll have the link in the book. So even on Kindle, you'll get access to the scrolls with the new book.
Oh, my goodness. And there is a short video message from the author, from Dave Blanchard, on the Augmentino site, as well as some background on Augmentino. And I cannot believe, I just saw this, I didn't know this before, that that Og lived in New Hampshire because that's where I grew up. I grew up in Manchester. He was an antrim. Oh, my goodness, which means he was in New Hampshire the same time I was. Oh, my goodness, and sad for me that I didn't meet him in person. Maybe I didn't even know it. But he is a New Englander and wrote many, many books, and do check out his books. All his teachings are available online through various various websites. And
you can get them all on our website if you want to go there.
And just fun little history.
Go to ogandino.com, Brenda, and you can get them all right there.
All right there. All of the books. I said, how many? 20, would you say?
There's 16 in publication right now.
16 in publication right now. And I love the fact that Betty is still with us. And I hope you can bring her to the camera or to a call at some point. I would love to hear from her as well. And, you know, this has just been fascinating. I feel like we could definitely have gone on, but there are calls that you can connect with Dave. There's social media. We welcome your comments on facebook.com/alive to thrive on my page or on Dave Blanchard has a personal page and has a page for the book. So thank you so much. I really think you are a gift to the world. I am so blessed I got to know you and meet you. And I think that the ripple effect of this work and these teachings could change the planet, could definitely change the discourse in our country. And folks need help and hope right now. And trust has been damaged both in individual person's life and collectively. And we need to get that back. And these writings and these teachings are just one of the many ways, but a very effective way that just looking at the table of contents from the new book, and you know, there's a chapter called Angels Among Us. I mean, I've done workshops on angels, you know, and all these sub chapter titles are just phenomenal. So thank you again, and we'll be back next week on Alive to Thrive, 12 noon Central. Please tell your friends to listen to the archives. We'll be posting those archives. They're available 24/7, so you can send this link out to anyone you'd like to introduce to the concept of Og Mandino or the teachings that Dave Blanchard carries on through his work with the Og Mandino Group. Thank you so much, Dave, and love to Ramona and to your staff out there in Utah and your wonderful family that you have.
Thank you. Thanks for the privilege.
Thank you.
Thank you.